Hewlett-Packard restructures and losses mount for BP.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith, in for Bill Radke. Welcome to the Morning Open, when we take a look at business and the economy as Wall Street starts its trading day. Tech giant Hewlett-Packard just announced a massive restructuring and 9,000 layoffs. We'll talk about that in just a moment. But first, let's do the numbers. Not a great morning on Wall Street. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is down 40 points, 0.4% to 10,095. The NASDAQ down 3 points, 0.1% to 2,253. The S&P 500 off 0.5%, 5 points to 1,083. Overseas markets not doing so well either. London's FTSE is down 1.75%. A lot of the sad music this morning has to do with BP. The British oil giant's stock was off 15% earlier this morning after the latest failure to stem the oil leak in the Gulf of Mexico. Now there's word it could be a takeover target. Here to talk with us about all of this is Julia Coronado, U.S. economist at BNP Paribas. She joins us live. Good morning, Julia.
Good morning.
Julia, BP says the spill could cost it almost $1 billion, or has cost it almost $1 billion so far. Is that why the markets are looking so bad this morning?
Well, I think certainly the oil spill situation is a concern, and a concern for the energy industry in particular, and certainly all of the industries along the Gulf Coast that are affected. But the reason I think that stock markets around the world are down today is ongoing concerns about the European situation. We saw Spain get downgraded on Friday evening. That took the markets lower on Friday. And I think just the ongoing concerns about the fiscal problems in Europe and potential spillover to the banking industry are leading us down.
Now, Hewlett-Packard stock is off about 0.3% so far this morning. The company just announced a $1 billion restructuring plan and thousands of layoffs. What's going on there?
Well, this is a recurring theme that we've seen during this recession and the early parts of this recovery. A lot of corporations are restructuring and really trying to get control of their cost structures. And unfortunately, what that's meant for the job market is just a really terrible time. And it's one of the reasons we've had such a slow start to the recovery in the jobs market. So this is really more of that same theme, corporations really trying to keep costs under control.
In just a few minutes, we're going to get manufacturing data for May. It's expected to be pretty good news. How do you weigh that against all of the bad news that you've been talking about that we're getting from corporations?
Well, the manufacturing sector has been the leading sector in this recovery. It's been really one of the key bright spots. It's benefited a lot from the growth we've seen in China and other Asian countries and some of Latin America, where growth has really picked up much more strongly. And U.S. exporters get to the benefits of that through, and we see that in the manufacturing numbers. So that's been one of the bright spots, and it should continue to be one of the bright spots.
Julia Coronado, U.S. economist with BNP Paribas. Thanks, Julia.
It's my pleasure.
We've already got some good news this morning from manufacturing. Boeing says it will build as many as 65 planes for a Russian state airline. Peter Van Dyke reports from Moscow.
Boeing's business in Russia has been grounded for many years, but it could be taking off again. The American plane maker won the large multi-billion dollar contract, beating off rival bids from Europe's Airbus and a Russian supplier. It will deliver 50 mid-range planes with an option for 15 more. Russian Technologies announced the deal on its website and said the specifics of the planes to be purchased would be decided in the near future.
Well, I think it's a big coup for Boeing. There's not only Russian manufacturers, there's other foreign manufacturers. So, you know, Boeing won on this one.
Andrew Summers is the president and CEO of the American Chamber of Commerce in Russia. He says the deal shows that good politics is good business.
It reflects continuing efforts to stimulate trade between the two countries.
The Boeing deal is especially significant because Russia has pressured domestic carriers to buy Russian planes to revive the domestic aviation sector. For Marketplace, I'm Peter Van Dyke in Moscow.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Reputation Defender.
You're listening to The Morning Report for Tuesday, June 1st at marketplace.org. A few months ago, British-based Prudential Insurance agreed to buy the Asian division of AIG for $35 billion. Shareholders said that was too much, and Prudential lowered its offer to about $30 billion. Now AIG's saying no dice. Our very own Amy Scott joins us live from New York to talk about this. Good morning, Amy.
Good morning, Stacey.
So what's this deal all about?
Well, it was supposed to be about raising money to pay back the U.S. government. Remember that AIG was rescued with a $132 billion bailout during the financial crisis. Back in March, AIG agreed to sell its Asian life insurance arm to the British insurer Prudential for $35 billion. Many Prudential shareholders thought the company was overpaying. This weekend, Prudential asked AIG to lower the price, and this morning, AIG's board said no.
So is the deal dead?
Well, it's not clear yet, but a lot of analysts think yes. The company's shareholders were scheduled to vote next week, but analysts say Prudential will probably walk away.
What does that mean for us, for taxpayers?
Well, it delays AIG's plans to start paying us back that bailout money. Reports say AIG may now return to its original plan to spin off the unit in a public offering, which would take longer than a sale.
Amy Scott in New York. Thank you, Amy.
You're welcome.
Today is the deadline for states to apply for the second round of federal education funding under the Obama administration's Race to the Top program. States compete for the money, and that is causing some resentment, as Nancy Marshall Genzer reports.
Race to the Top has become a slog to the top. In the first round of the competition, 41 states applied. Only two got any money. States are judged on their plans for turning around failing schools and using test scores to evaluate teachers. States had to win over teachers who felt like they were being thrown under the school bus. State lawmakers had to sign off on ambitious reform plans. Some states that went to all that trouble and didn't get any money have decided not to compete in the second round. Jack Jennings directs the Center on Education Policy.
They went through a battle the first time, and they just don't have the stomach to go through another battle in their legislatures a second time.
Jennings says the Education Department should loosen up the strict scoring system it developed for Race to the Top. Joanne Weiss says, no way. She's director of the program.
It is not called Race to the Middle. It's called Race to the Top for a reason.
Winners of this second round of the Race to the Top competition will be announced in the fall. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall Genzer for Marketplace.
This could be the last week of business for hundreds of medical marijuana dispensaries across Los Angeles. LA is cracking down on where people can sell California's biggest cash crop. Marketplace's Eve Tro reports.
Shops along Venice Beach hawk all kinds of funky things, from big sunglasses and dream catchers to marijuana.
We basically have the best deals on the beach, whatever.
A young woman chats up potential customers outside a store called Dr. Kush. Buff guys wave signs behind her that say 420 evaluation and the doctor is in, implying that doctor will write you a prescription for pot.
Yeah, we can do that. That's fine, yeah.
California legalized marijuana for medical use 14 years ago. In the past few years, Los Angeles City Council member Ed Reyes says the number of stores that sell it exploded.
We had as many of these establishments as we had Starbucks.
Actually, more than that. The LA Weekly counted 545 medical marijuana stores last year. The city aims to weed out 80% of them with a new ordinance. Dispensaries that opened after a certain date will have to close by June 7th.
Hi.
California Alternative Caregivers sells medical marijuana from a tan stucco office building about a mile from Venice Beach. Owner Carl Klein says patients have to get buzzed into the building, show ID, then go through winding hallways.
And it's kind of a maze here. I had a couple of retired DEA agents help me select a facility.
In a back room, volunteers sell different strains of pot in sealed plastic bottles.
This is an eighth, and this is a gram. All it is just buds.
Klein says he was the first in the city to get medical marijuana printed on his business license. His shop will stay open. Under the new ordinance, though, he did have to notify every resident within 1,000 feet about his business.
We sent out 941 letters, and we got a whole lot of new patients came in. They said, we didn't even know you were there.
The crackdown on medical marijuana has already prompted some businesses to close. Hundreds more pot store owners are seeing their investments go up in smoke. Those that make it through the hazy regulations will be busier than ever. In Los Angeles, I'm Eve Tro for Marketplace.
First, there was the Kindle ebook reader from Amazon. Then came the Nook from Barnes & Noble. Now Borders is set to release its Kobo reader just in time for Father's Day. But don't forget about Apple. Users have already downloaded millions of digital books to their iPads. Janet Babin reports.
Apple has pitched their brand new iPad as an all-purpose media consumption device, good for games and videos, as well as for magazines and books. That may crimp sales of ebook readers like the Kobo. Kobo will sell for about $100 less than its competitors, but price alone may not be enough to lure readers. Richard Nash founded the digital publishing startup Cursor. He doubts there are enough people out there who want to buy up all these ebook devices.
The demand is not going to be anything like what it was with iPod. There's fairly limited demand for a device that does nothing other than let you read books.
Why spend up to $250 on a dedicated device when you can get something for $500 that'll let you read books and oh so much more? I'm Janet Babin for Marketplace.
British energy giant BP suffered a hit when the London stock market reopened for business today. The company's shares fell another 15%. Its price has deteriorated ever since the explosion of its deepwater drilling well. The sell-off followed the failure of the so-called top kill attempt to plug the massive oil leak in the Gulf of Mexico. From London, Stephen Beard reports.
BP has now lost more than a third of its stock market value since the oil rig blew up 6 weeks ago. Investors fear the costs of the disaster are spiraling out of control. Containing and cleaning up the spill could set the company back more than $3 billion. At this stage, the cost of compensation is anyone's guess. Chris Skrabowski of Peak Oil Consulting says one thing is pretty clear. BP will likely emerge from this disaster as a smaller company.
It's perfectly possible that it may have to chop bits off itself and sell them in order to meet this monumental cost that seems to be coming down the road towards it.
As a smaller firm, BP could be open to takeover, but Skrabowski says that's unlikely. After this disaster, regulators will be less keen on seeing an even bigger oil company. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Insurance giant Prudential's plan to buy part of AIG is on the rocks. A few months ago, Prudential agreed to buy the Asian division of AIG for $35 billion. Shareholders protested, saying that was too much, and Prudential lowered its offer to about $30 billion. Now AIG is saying no dice, and the deal is expected to fall through. Today is the deadline for states to apply for the second round of federal education funding under the Obama administration's Race to the Top program. Nancy Marshall-Genzer has more.
Race to the Top has become a slog to the top. In the first round of the competition, 41 states applied. Only two got any money. States are judged on their plans for turning around failing schools and using test scores to evaluate teachers. States had to win over teachers who felt like they were being thrown under the school bus. State lawmakers had to sign off on ambitious reform plans. Some states that went to all that trouble and didn't get any money have decided not to compete in the second round. Jack Jennings directs the Center on Education Policy.
They went through a battle the first time, and they just don't have the stomach to go through another battle in their legislatures a second time.
Jennings says the Education Department should loosen up the strict scoring system it developed for Race to the Top. Joanne Weiss says, no way. She's director of the program.
It is not called Race to the Middle. It's called Race to the Top for a reason.
Winners of this second round of the Race to the Top competition will be announced in the fall. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
And finally, online daters are now hiring assistants to manage their accounts. The Washington Post reports the cyber Cyrano's will sift through matches and woo potential mates with artfully crafted messages. The services cost between $600 and $1,200, depending on how many dates you want. In Los Angeles, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith, and this is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.